Good evening, guys. Just give it a few seconds just to boot up. Here we go. Good evening, guys. Welcome to the Accidental Journalist Live and Undrugged Series 3, Episode 2. I do apologize for the lateness of tonight. Somebody's tried hacking my account, so I've had to change all of my passwords again. Tonight, I am with former Mafia man, Ari Spado. Is that right, Spado?
Yeah, that's good enough.
And he's going to speak about his life and his amazing story. As the accidental gangster. Ari, thanks for coming on. If we could just go back to the start of your journey and the start of your life, and
How are you doing today? Accidental journalist meets the accidental gangster. You know, I've been seeing you for a while, and it's about time we finally met. So thank you for having me here.
Thanks for coming on.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ari Spado. I'm known as the Accidental Gangster. I have a book. It's called The Accidental Gangster, From Insurance Salesman to Hollywood Fixer. It's a two-time bestseller, and it's being made into a movie, being directed by George Gallo and produced by Nick Vallanoga. And we should be in production within the next 6 months. So things are really popping over here for that there. For those of you who don't know me, I'm very well known in the London circle with Joey Pyle, the Grays, Richardson's, and you name them over there. I know everybody there. I've been to London several times, and they've been there, and so I'm very well known. You'll see a lot in my book, particularly about my best mate, Joey Pyle, who you all should know. And, I was arrested in 2008 on a Colombo crime family indictment, arrested at my home in Beverly Hills, chained, shackled, put on Con Air, and brought to Brooklyn, New York, where I ended up fighting my case and ended up getting 62 months in prison. Upon my release, I changed my life, promised my kids I would not go back into it, and I ended up writing my book and dedicate my life to helping young men and women stay out of a life of crime. And I have mentored several young men on that there.
That's brilliant. Can we go back to the start of your journey and how you sort of fell into that life?
My journey began in upstate New York. I was born in Rome, New York. I began hustling on the streets at the age of 12. And I haven't stopped. I'm still doing it, and I'm 78 years old now. And when I say hustle, I mean I got to earn money every day like everybody else. And it's just an object of something that I had to do. At the age of 18, I joined the U.S. Army. And I served 3 years in the United States Army, honorably discharged. Went back to Rome, New York, ended up in the insurance business, and I became a leading agent with the Prudential Insurance Company. And then from there, I went on to form my own insurance agency. Through the years, I was meeting several people through my dear friend, Frank Russo. I met Frank Costello, had lunch with Russell Buffalino. All these people you heard of, there's a movie being made right now when my dear friend Nick Leggi wrote the script, called Wise Guys, is going to star Robert De Niro. He's playing Frank Costello. And Nick also wrote Goodfellas and Casino. And, you know, and through the years, I ended up meeting about anybody I had to meet. Became well known. My first indictment came in 1978-79. And my insurance license was taken from me. And being a hustler, I kept hustling. And I got more, and then I got involved with Sonny Franchese, who became, he was the underboss of the Colombo crime family. And he and I were friends for 50 years until his death at the age of 103, 2 years ago. That's my life story in a nutshell, folks. Anything else you want to know about me, it's all in my book here, The Accidental Gangster. It's a book that you can learn on not to go into crime. Learn some of the things I did, the obstacles that I had to overcome, how I overcame them. And you could do the same thing too.
So tell me about some of the people, some of the young men that you work with, and what you do to help them get out of that life.
How I help them what?
How you help them get out of, you know, a life of crime, and you know, how you help them get on the straight and narrow.
Well, you know, through my social media, a lot of people have been through my book, people have contacted me. And I talk to the young men, I talk to their parents. You have to begin with the parents. And I explain, you know, you only got two choices if you're going to be in a life of crime today. And I don't care where in the world you are, but particularly in this country. You got cameras everywhere, everybody's got a telephone, and everybody's waiting to talk about you. So you're going to end up in jail, or you're going to end up dead. Those are the only two choices. You're not going to beat the law. There's no way. Eventually, they're going to get you. Happens to everybody. And I teach them how to stay out of life of crime, but I also mentor them how to get into a business, how to become an entrepreneur. How to find something they love. It might be a passion of theirs, like yours, collecting VHS. It might be a hobby. But, you know, if they find something, in order to be successful, you got to love what you're doing. You have to have a burning desire to achieve. And I teach them these things. And I teach them how to overcome fear. Basically, I try to teach them everything that I know. And in 78 years, I know an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose crime is crime, both sides of the pond, both over there and over here. We're now getting to the point over here where, you know, there's a lot of gun violence, there's a lot of knife violence. It's sad that there was a drive-by shooting in London a few days ago that killed a seven or nine-year-old child because of turf wars. Making music, making diss tracks, you know, so I don't suppose it sort of differs a lot from American crime anymore.
Nah, no different. We have the same thing happening here every day. And I heard that, you know, London and England had really changed from the days that I used to go there very frequently. It's really changed over there. It's gotten worse. And it's getting worse over here. You know, and since the pandemic, it actually got a lot worse because they changed the laws and the local laws. They don't, you know, there's people going out stealing in stores and right blatantly. I mean, I watched it when I was in a drugstore. I mean, you saw a person packing up a suitcase and walking right out the damn store with it. I asked the manager, "You gonna do anything, sir? We can't do nothing." They can't do a thing.
No. It's like, before we came live, we were talking about, you know, some of the older gangland figures over here, like the Craze and Joey Pyle Sr. And, you know, people like Lenny McLean and people like that. It was they were strong men, and it was a different time. I grew up in you know, sort of the love, loyalty and respect sort of way of life, and that's gone. You know, they didn't call themselves gangsters. They were businessmen who just happened to be criminals. But now it's so bad. It's so bad. The city that I live near, it's really bad for what's called county lines crime, which is getting young, vulnerable people involved in drug trafficking throughout the country. We're about 2 hours from London. There's people getting stabbed and beaten and shot on almost a daily basis. And this is the city where my kids are growing up. And it was never like that. Wasn't comparable to America, because we were our own tiny little island, but now it is.
I know one thing over here, one thing that all these old timers, all these people that I knew, we had respect for the law. And they respected us because we respected them. We always had a saying, they have a job to do. And we have a job to do. We're the bad guys, they're the good guys. If they catch us doing something, they arrest us. We didn't beat them up, we didn't spit at them, we didn't throw things at them. Shit, all they had to do was call us and we'd go turn ourselves in if they called us. Okay? Not today. Today there's no respect. And respect is the thing. It's a major thing. No matter whether you're a criminal or a legal citizen, respect, honor, and loyalty are three things that everybody should be living their life. I mean, I try to do good things every day now. I try to brighten other people's days up. It's really a sad situation what our world is coming in, what's happening to our world, particularly in two great countries like England and the United States. I mean, it's terrible what's going on, and it should not. And I could only blame our politicians in both countries.
Yeah, the government does have a lot to answer for.
And they
it's a kind of a difficult regime at the minute because, you know, all of our prime ministers over the past few years have been tyrants, and they're not in it for the country, they're in it for the money. And
man after my own heart right there. I say that all the time.
And austerity is rife.
Yeah.
It's rife. I can see many a family in a once thriving town. Lots of families are now depending on food banks and the kindness of churches. And as a Christian and as a member of my local church, we try to do as much as we can. But it's so difficult at the minute. I grew up in the north of England during the 70s and 80s, during the miners' strike. So I know what it's like to see austerity and see towns fail because the government doesn't care. All they care about is profit. And when they're putting profit over people, that's when people, good people, start to die because they can't afford to live because heat, heating is bills so high, electric bills are so high, and it's all because of our conservative government.
You're breaking up. You're freezing up.
Presume it's pretty much the same over there where you are.
Yeah, there's no difference. The biggest crooks are the politicians. That's the real organized crime.
I apologize for that.
Huh?
Well,
Jack, you froze up here. Jack? You froze up.
Here we go. Hello, mate. I do apologize for that.
Oh, okay. There you are. You froze up.
Yeah, we lost connection for a moment.
Was that on your end?
Yeah, I think it was my end. Like I say, I'm in my garden shed. We've just got a new internet provider. So we're still breaking it in at the minute, so I do apologize for that.
Saying the real criminal, the real organized crime is our politicians. You know, we have a situation in this country there. Donald Trump had over 300 top secret, confidential secret documents, and now Joe Biden, they're finding them all over the place. Why? And I guarantee you, these two were not the only presidents who have them. Anybody have any idea how much those documents are worth to other countries and that information? This is how they become multimillionaires, all right? By screwing our country and taking documents that belong to the country. There's no other reason for them to have them except to sell them. Those things, and why is Washington, those things should be locked up immediately after somebody reviews them. They shouldn't be left floating around. But they keep finding them every day. Go by the garage, they got them in his office and his warehouse, they got them every place. It's crazy. But those are the type of things, these are the things that we have to fight as normal citizens of this world. And we keep voting for the same people.
Yeah.
People keep voting for the same. And this country is red or blue. Okay?
Pretty much the same here.
They don't know who they're voting for. They believe
pretty much the same here, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, look at politics, and I can get going on that there. It's a bad subject to talk about.
We're in a difficult place, but that's why crime is rife over here. It's like we were saying before, it's not like the days of Joe Pyle Sr. and the Richardsons and the Crays. That was a different time, and it was a different... People behave different. We're now in a world where people don't believe in that anymore. Or the vast majority of people don't believe in that before. So, we're in a sad state when there's I always call myself one of the last of the old guard, because I believe that we should be living love, royalty, loyalty and respect, as a given, and it's not anymore. That way of life's dying out. That way of life's dying out. I suppose as a Brit, the only thing that we have to measure about, you know, your way of life and the mafia is what we see on films like Casino and Goodfellas. And how accurate is that? How accurate is the sort of, you know, is it like a brotherhood? Is it, you know, rude like that? And
that's all changed over here too, buddy. That's all changed. It's sad. Everything has changed. You know, it's supposed to be a brotherhood, but I don't believe it really is. Not like the old days when I go back with Sonny Francesi, Jimmy Cacci out here on the West Coast, Russell Bufalino, Frank Costello, Lucky Luciano, those guys. That's changed. Okay, there's no more honor. There's no more respect. And, you know, everybody become, in your country, you call it a grass. Over here, we call them a rat. And that's what's going on. And nothing we could do about it except live our lives and do what we each can do in our own way to try to make this world a better place. You know, you've come a long way in your life. You had your pitfalls. You overcame. People should learn from these things. People should be learning from people like yourself. Do you know Marvin Hebert?
Do I know who? Sorry?
Marvin Hebert, Marvin Herbert.
Marvin Herbert, yeah, I know of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been trying to set a thing up to get me the tour over there in England.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, by all accounts, he's sorted his life out. He went from like a really sort of, he's a high-end villain, got shot in the face and lost his eye and, you know, all this. Is decent enough podcaster. I've never spoken to him, not really.
Yeah.
I know people that do know him personally. But I think he would agree that, you know, and all the people that I know that know him all agree that this is... Prisons are different, the lifestyle is different, and it's a different class of criminal now. Who don't really, you know, it used to be no women, no kids, no families, you know, we don't hurt them. And now there's kids getting shot outside churches.
Yeah.
You know, if I had air, I'd pull it out, mate, to be honest.
Well, look, you know, Jack, I do have to promote my book. And, you know, I sold a lot of books over there in England. And my book is available on Amazon over there. You can get the Audible, you can get the Kindle, get it whatever you want. But it's available. You go to my website and purchase an autographed copy. My website is theaccidentalgangster.com. And I'm going to begin next month, February 10th, we're beginning to do my own, it's going to be called a TV show more than a podcast, where I'm going to be traveling around with my sidekick, Debbie Betancourt, going to different locations. It's called Stories with Ori. I'm going to tell you what I did here, what I did there, and we're going to travel from Los Angeles to Palm Springs, Las Vegas, New York, Florida. I got stories all over the country. Who knows? Maybe I'll end up in England and tell you some stories over there with Joey Pyle. And yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. So subscribe to my YouTube station, which is The Accidental Gangster also. And this is where I post my interviews. Also, once Jack sends me the link to this, you'll be able to watch it on there. So, Jack,
I will link it.
I'm gonna have to run in a few minutes, buddy.
So thank you for taking the time out.
You have any questions you'd like to ask?
Not really, mate. I just want to say thank you for taking the time out to speak to me. I realize that you have a really busy schedule, and I hope to get you on again to talk more about your life and your book when you've got a bit more time.
Okay, we'll get it going. All right, buddy?
All right, cheers.
All right, cheers. Take care.
Thank you guys for tuning in, as always, and I shall see you again soon.
Take care, buddy.
Cheers, bye.